This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه فإذا خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم ولا تخافي ولا تحزني إنا رادوه إليك وجاعلوه من المرسلين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قالت إحداهما يا أبت استأجر إن خير من استأجرت القوي الأمين. صدق الله العظيم. So subhanallah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam displayed this act of kindness, and it was a catalyst of so much good that followed thereafter. And in Bayan al-Quran it is written, فيه أن خدمة الخلق لا يأنف منه الكاملون, that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam assisted, he engaged in social and welfare work, and the pious were those that would not find it below their dignity to reach out. A man is never so tall like when he stoops to help a child. When you drop down, you help, you empower, you distribute, you give some food, you put a smile on someone's face, you pass a loving hand over an orphan. This is something that is most dear to Allah. The girls, of course, returned home ahead of their regular time, and the dad inquired the reason. Ma a'jalakuma ya bintayya, but today you are here early. And they said, well, there's been a very kind man who has, you know what, taken the flock, given it water, and set us off on our way much early. So the father said, ma ahsantuma ya bintayya, oh my daughters, that's not good of you. When a stranger, a foreign man in a foreign land has been kind, then at least knowing the etiquettes of this house, let's acknowledge him, let's appreciate him. And then one of the girls was sent through. And according to Allama Nasafi in Madarik al-Tanzil, it was the elder of the two. In fact, he even records her name. He records her name as Safra, while the younger one's name was Safira. And from the rear, she then gave him directions. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam arrived at the house. He arrived at the house. And that was the note on which we concluded the previous segment. He was, of course, welcomed and ushered into the house by the father of the house, who, according to narrations, was none other than Shu'aib alayhi salam. Aqama Musa indahum maqama dhayfin kareem. He was given dignity, respect, and honor. And after some days had passed, one of the daughters said to the dad, Dad, I'm just thinking, perhaps if you would consider this as an option, verse number 26, Ya abatista'jirhu. Oh my dad, why not employ him? Why not employ him? I think he will make for a good employee. And then subhanallah, she very aptly outlined two amazing qualities that define the best of employees. But follow through, amazing the adoption and the expression of words, and again, the display of modesty. So she says to her father, Inna khayra man ista'jarta al-qawiyyul amin. Surely the best person you can possibly employ is al-qawi, one who is strong, mighty, al-amin, trustworthy. And absolutely, what a comprehensive description of a good employee. Because if a person is strong, then he can work. He can engage in hard labor. But if he's strong and he's not trustworthy, then unfortunately he would be working hard, but he would be eating up the revenue and the dividends. And this is so common that happens in the best of companies, etc. And then if you flip it the other way around and reverse it, he might be trustworthy, that he would not pinch, he would not steal, he would not usurp, he would not devour. But then again, he doesn't have might, he doesn't have clout, he doesn't have strength. Is too passive. You cannot engage him in work. So in terms of the best of employees, if there's anyone you can employ, it is a person who has strength and trustworthy. And again, a reference to this here in chapter 27, Surah An-Naml, verse 39. When Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam addressing the people in his court, he said, أَيُّكُمْ يَأْتِينِي بِعَرْشِهَا قَبْلَ أَن يَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ, in the tale and the narrative of the Queen of Saba. Historical narrations refer to her as Bilqis. Which one of you has the ability to bring her throne to me before she comes here? And verse 39, قَالَ عِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ, a strong, mighty jinn. And according to the narration of Jalalain, His name was Asif. His name was Asif. And many argue he had the knowledge of Ismul A'zam, the supreme name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through which no prayer is rejected. You supplicate Allah through that, and of course your prayer would be answered. He said, "Ana atika bihi qabla an yartadda ilayka tarfuk." I will uproot, uplift, and relocate that entire throne of that woman and present it to you in a jiffy, in a split second, in the twitching of an eye. And وَإِنِّي عَلَيْهِ لَقَوِيٌّ أَمِينٌ وَإِنِّي عَلَيْهِ لَقَوِيٌّ أَمِينٌ And I have the strength to do it, and I'm trustworthy. I would not usurp, or I would not steal anything. Subhanallah. And again, we learn from the words of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, where he said that there were three people that prove to be super intelligent throughout history. Afrasun nasi thalatha, physiognomy. Three were the greatest physiognomists of all times. One was, of course, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, when he nominated Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, as the Khalifa. And then, of course, the person in Misr who had purchased Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, because he was wrongly been auctioned in a sale, and he was been auctioned, and then he came home and he said, "Akrimi mathwahu, asa an yanfa'ana aw nattakhidhahu walada." Oh, my wife, honor this boy, honor this lad. He might benefit us, or perhaps we can adopt him as a son. And the third was the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salam, who said to her father, "Ista'jirhu, inna khayra man ista'jarta al-qawiyyul amin." Maybe, my dad, you want to consider employing this man, because he has the two most impressive qualities, that is strength and trustworthiness. Now look at this here. You know, I've quoted this, I've read this, and I've discussed this so many times. But subhanallah, the beauty of the Quran, لا تنقضي عجائبهم. I just marveled at an amazing deduction that I stumbled over in Balagha, in Bayanul Quran. So it is mentioned there that look at the preservation of modesty. So the daughter says to her father, employ him, right? And then she says that, the best employee is the one who's strong and trustworthy. And then Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayhi also writes that the father asks the daughter, "And what proof do you have of his strength?" So she says that Rafa al Ghita. So the well used to have like a covering or a lid over it, which averagely, commonly, it would take a group of people to lift or move. And he did this single-handedly. So that's an indication and a reflection of his strength and his might. And as for his integrity and his trustworthiness, as we were walking along, he opted for me to walk behind him so that his gaze does not fall on me. And that's a reflection of his modesty. So the modesty of this sister was, and this girl was, and that's the beauty of Islam, she did not praise him directly. A strange woman praising a strange man on a direct level. And of course, as men, we do appreciate and understand a weak point, how inflated an ego can become, and how conceited a person would become, or how flattered he would feel if a strange woman passes a comment or a remark or a compliment about him. It would inflate his ego, and he would feel so wrapped up in himself. Look at the modesty. وَهَذَا أَفْضَلُ الْمَدْحِ مِنَ الْمَرْأَةِ لِلْرَّجُلِ وَأَبْقَى لِلْحَشْمَةِ وَأَبْقَى لِلْحَشْمَةِ So she did not say, employ him, he's very strong. She didn't say, إِسْتَأْجِرْهُ لِقُوَّتِهِ وَلِأَمَانَتِهِ Oh my dad, this is a very strong man. Oh my dad, this is a very honest man. Oh my dad, this is a man with great integrity. Rather, she used an implicit reference. So she modestly said, employ him, because the best of employees are those that are strong and those that are trustworthy. So there was a subtle reference here again. وَهَذَا أَفْضَلْ مِنَ الْمَدْحِ الْخَاصِ وَهَذَا أَفْضَلْ مِنَ الْمَدْحِ الْخَاصِ And this is mentioned in Bayanul Quran, that this is better than making a direct praise, because it preserves the element of modesty. Subhanallah. ووافق كلام السيدة هوى في قلب الشيخ ولكنه فكر في المسألة كوالد. So when the daughter made this option and request to the dad, he also had similar sentiments crossing his heart. But thinking as a father, he took it to a different level. وفكر في المسألة كشيخ عاقل. And he thought, this is a noble man. He's displayed such goodness. He's honest. He's faithful. You're saying I must employ him. And surely he has what it takes to be a great employee. But why not? Why not perhaps consider أن يكون سهرا لي, that maybe I make him my son-in-law. Maybe I make him my son-in-law. وأين أجد في الدنيا أفضل من هذا الشاب? And where will I possibly find a young man as a prospective, spouse to my daughter and a son-in-law to me better than him? أما في مدين فلم أجد أحدا أهلا لذلك. Knowing the people of Midian and the Midianites, he knew that there wasn't someone of equal caliber. وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ سَاقَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْفَتَى لِيَكُونَ لِي صِهْرًا وَوَزِيرًا. And who knows, in the greater happenings of things, this could be perhaps that Allah sent him to me, and this could well be a son-in-law. This could well be a son-in-law for me. فَقَالَ فِي وَقَارٍ وَشَفَقَةٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ. So with respect and dignity, he took it one step above, one notch higher, and he approached Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and that's verse 27, and he said, إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُنْكِحَكَ إِحْدَى بْنَتَيَّ هَاتَيْنِ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تَأْجُرَنِي ثَمَانِيَ حِجَجْ. إِنِّي, verily I, أُرِيدُ, intend, أَنْ أُنْكِحَكَ, to wed you. إِحْدَى بْنَتَيَّ هَاتَيْنِ, to one of my daughters. And of course, this wasn't the conclusion of the proposal, because when you're getting married, it needs to be specific who you're getting married to. But this was initiating the discussion, etc. I would like to wed you to one of my two daughters, عَلَىٰ أَن تَأْجُرَنِي ثَمَانِيَ حِجَجْ, that you labor for me 8 years. You labor for me 8 years, and that would be the dowry for my daughter. And of course, in the previous Sharia, it was permissible. And even, there's difference of opinion amongst the jurists. Certain jurists say that labor to your wife can be an accepted form of dowry, while other jurists differ with that view. Anyway, he took the courage and he mastered the courage and he extended the proposal. Verse 27 to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, عَلَىٰ أَن تَأْجُرَنِي ثَمَانِيَ حِجَجْ, that you labor for me 8 years. فَإِنْ أَتْمَمْتَ عَشْرًا, and if you choose and you opt to extend it by 2 years, then so be it. فَإِنْ أَتْمَمْتَ عَشْرًا فَمِنْ عِنْدِكَ, then this would be a kind gesture from your side. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَيْكَ, and I do not want to complicate things for you. I do not want to impose upon you. I don't want to make things difficult for you. So 8 years to labor, meaning, as a shepherd to graze the sheep, etc. This would be the agreement in place. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَيْكَ, I do not want to make things difficult for you in any way. سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, you will find me by the will of Allah amongst those that are noble, righteous, pleasant and polite in our interaction. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam agreed and he obliged. And we learn from this a very fundamental principle, that in Islam it is perfectly fine and correct for the bride's side to initiate the proposal or the groom to initiate the proposal. There is no harm to this here. Either or is acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the teachings of Islam. So it is perhaps the norm is more common. The norm is more common that the male party or the groom's party initiates the proposal. But if you know that there is a good boy and this could be a good prospect for your daughter or your niece, then why not? By all means. Sayyidina Lut alayhi salatu wasalam said to his people, Ya qawmi ha'ula'i banati, Ya qawmi ha'ula'i banati, hunna atharu lakum, fattaqu allaha wa la tukhzuni fi dhaifi, alaysa minkum rajulur rashid. Fihi adamu al-i'tidad bil'urf. that he told his people, here are my daughters, marry them. This is more pure. This is more wholesome. So the culture might be, the norm might be that people would be apprehensive and saying, this is my daughter. But in the teachings of Islam, the key thing is if there's a good proposal, go forward. And we know that the ulama have mentioned that there are six instances in which a person should hasten and he shouldn't delay. And tazwijul bikri idha adrakat. Tazwijul bikri idha adrakat. When a young girl is of age and she matures, then you should not delay in going forward. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam obliges and he agrees. And this is in verse 28. قَالَ ذَلِكَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ. The matter is between the two of us. I'm agreeing to this. I'm accepting this here. Subhanallah. Just rewind from the time where he was sitting beneath the tree, taking shelter, unknown to him what the next minute holds. And he had done his act of kindness. And I had impressed that point, and I want to reiterate it. You are waiting for a miracle in your life. But perhaps that kindness that you're waiting for is actually waiting for you to help someone else. And that would be the catalyst of good coming your way. And he agreed, قَالَ ذَلِكَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ. This is an agreement between us. أَيَّمَا الْأَجَلَيْنِ قَضَيْتُ فَلَا عُدْوَانَ عَلَيْهِ. Between the two durations, whichever one I opt for, فَلَا عُدْوَانَ عَلَيَّ. There should be no compulsion upon me. There should be no force upon me in any way. So this was the beauty of the transparency of the agreement. Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salam said, listen, this is my intentions, 8 years. And according to the hadith of Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Amr bin Munzir radiyallahu anhu narrates it. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Inna Musa ajara nafsahu. Inna Musa ajara nafsahu. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that Musa submitted himself to manual labor for the preservation of his chastity, meaning to make nikah, and to fill his belly, because of course he was then provided with food and accommodation. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, recognizing his merit and his virtue. أَيَّمَا الْأَجَلَيْنِ قَضَيْتُ فَلَا عُدْوَانَ عَلَيَّ. Between the two durations, 8 or 10, whichever one I opt for, there must be no force on me or any pressure upon me. وَاللَّهُ عَلَى مَا نَقُولُ وَكِيلٌ. Verse 28, and Allah is a witness and Allah is a guardian upon what we discuss and we conclude. So yes, he entered the house as a stranger and he became very comfortable. They became very comfortable. The daughter then said, why not employ him? And the father said, why not make him a son-in-law? Extended the proposal. He obliged. And of course, the nikah was then solemnized and performed. And he then labored for 8 or 10 years, according to the verse of the Quran. However, we learn from the narrations that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam stayed for full 10 years and as a shepherd. And you know, my brother and my sister, every Nabi that came was a shepherd. Every Nabi that came was a shepherd. And in that, there was great tarbiyah. There was great tarbiyah for the Nabi. And this was the sunnah of Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. And I have a reflection. Someone said in the Urdu language so amazingly, ki mulak kuch is tarah se badalne laga. Mulak kuch is tarah se badalne laga. Ki gai bakriya ko charane mein log sharam mahsoos karte hai. Aur kutte ko gumane mein fakhar mahsoos karte hai. How strange. To be a shepherd and graze the flock was the practice of all the Anbiya. But things have changed now. To take a flock of sheep and graze them is a bit of an insult and embarrassing. And it's like a violation to my self-esteem. But to take a dog and walk it around the city is a sense of pride and honor. Hello, that's how things have changed. We'll leave it on this note here. Sayyidina Musa is now staying here. He is comfortable here. He has been married to one of the daughters. He has agreed to the contract. Let's see what develops from here.